Eventually, more than 1 million Northerners bought government bonds, and that tied them to their government. Alexander Hamilton had argued this back in debates over the nature of the federal Constitution, how you should tie people to their new government. Hamilton said people with a financial interest in their government are going to be tied to it. That's one way to help ensure the loyalty of your citizenry. He wanted people to be tied to the government in that sense, and that's what's happening in the Civil War. Millions of Northern people, in the end, feel a direct tie because they've made a financial investment in the war effort beyond their hope to save the Union, or beyond, if they happen to be abolitionists, their hope to see the war kill slavery. They actually have this other way in which they're tied to the national government and to the national war effort. This also represented a step, system of loans toward modernizing the nation's capitalist system. It's something that suited the Republican vision of what kind of a nation the United States should be. In the last 3 years of the war, the North sold $1.5 billion worth of these bonds. To put that in perspective, the United States government's entire budget in 1860 was $63 million. $63 million ran the entire United States government. Here they're selling $1.5 billion worth of bonds during the war. So that's one method for the North to raise money. They also issued treasury notes in the North. In late 1861 and early 1862, the United States government was running out of money, out of hard money, out of gold and silver. There simply wasn't enough to pay for all the war-related supplies that were needed. Congress, in response to this, authorized what the Confederacy had already resorted to, and that was the printing of paper money. This was a difficult decision because many people only trusted silver and gold. They only trusted something that would clink when it hit the ground. They wanted something they could feel rattle around in their pocket or hear it jangle in their pocket. That was money to them. Paper, the notion of paper money, brought back terrible memories of the Revolutionary War when the Continental Congress printed what turned out to be worthless paper money. Not worth a continental was still an expression in the United States, meaning what could be more worthless than this piece of paper money. That memory of the Revolution was still quite strong in the United States, and many Northerners were wary of the government's issuing paper money. They wanted hard money. But money was so desperately needed that Congress passed legislation on February 25, 1862, called the Legal Tender Act, and it authorized the issuance of $150 million in Treasury notes that came to be called greenbacks. Our green money that we use now is descended from these original Treasury notes issued during the Civil War, the greenbacks. Their money was bigger than ours, but that color was put in place then, and we're still going with it. Now, federal paper money did not devalue nearly as badly as the Confederate paper money did, and there are several reasons for this. First, unlike the Confederate paper money, these greenbacks were made legal tender. They were receivable for all debts, public or private, with just a very few exceptions. Two of the main exceptions were that you couldn't use these to pay import duties, and you couldn't use them to pay the interest on the national debt. Well, most citizens weren't worried about paying the interest on the national debt. They just wanted to make sure that their paper money would be accepted for the normal things that you would have to pay for. So that's one strength of this paper money in the North. It is legal tender. Secondly, it was issued in the winter and spring of 1862, at a time when Northern Arms was achieving success out in the West. The Northern Army was. It was winning in Tennessee, and it was seemed to be doing well almost across the board. In other words, it wasn't a period of despair in the North. When the Union armies were in retreat, there was a good deal of optimism, and so this seemed to be a measure that might work. All other things going well, this didn't seem to be any kind of a harbinger of bad tidings for the North. Strong confidence in the war effort, that helped ease the shock of this paper money. And finally, Congress also levied taxes at the same time that it announced that these greenbacks would be put into circulation, and that helped relieve part of the inflationary pressures on the wartime economy. By the end of the war, The North had issued nearly $500 million worth of greenbacks, nearly half a billion.